is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Tuesday and welcome to it. SteveGruber.com, the place to find out all sorts of information. Listen live there on your computer at work or home and on your mobile device. Plus, the hotline, 888-900-9966, the Common Sense hotline. Had a whole flurry of calls to start the day. The hotline remains open for you today. Can't do this without you. I've had to change insurances three times now since Obamacare was created, twice when I lost insurance. And it looks like there's a lot more trouble on the way. The Congressional Budget Office says people signing up for Obamacare is half of what they expected. Simply put, that means the people that did get in the exchanges, that got in the pools, are going to pay exorbitant rates for what they're getting. The next time for open enrollment and rate increases, November the 1st, 1 week before the general election here in the United States. And Obamacare, something Hillary Clinton has championed since her days as First Lady, when she tried to put through a national health care plan that was an utter failure. But nearly one-third of all U.S. counties, listen to me when I say this, nearly one-third of all U.S. counties will be left with but a single insurance provider come this time next year, and maybe much sooner. The Obamacare exchange will offer just one company. That, according to a new analysis fueling warnings about the impact of the insurance company exodus from these insurance markets all over the country. According to Fox News, the Kaiser Family Foundation study found residents in Pinal County, Arizona, are even at risk of having no insurance options at all. No insurance options at all on Obamacare. Now, as you may recall, the president promised repeatedly to you and I and everybody else, there'd be more choices, bend the cost curve, we'd all save $2,500, which is complete nonsense, I guess is the word I can use on this program. It's absolutely absurd what has happened. In fact, what has happened is exactly what was predicted by economists on the right. Not the Paul Klugmans of this world, morons, who don't understand economics at all and should be ashamed to call themselves economists, who believe in Keynesian economics, whereas deficit spending is the key to all growth, which is absurd. And has been disproved time and again. Time and again, Keynesian economics has been torn apart at the cost of your family and mine and this economy and mine. But Steve, what about the one percenters? Well, the one percenters always do fine. Hillary Clinton, for God's sake. She's in the 1/10 of the 1%. She decries big banks and shrilly attacks big banks, while preaching from the Wells Fargo podium during the Democratic National Convention. She attacks big banks while accepting tens of millions of dollars in donations from, you guessed it, big banks. Well, 6 years after Obamacare was signed into law now, America's major medical insurers, concerned about their own bottom line, have started to pull the plug on a variety of services and options available to consumers. Insurers like Humana, Anthem, Aetna, United Health, and Blue Cross Blue Shield have all pulled out of some places and have threatened to pull out altogether. United Healthcare, the nation's largest provider, has pulled out of a variety of places. Aetna did it last week. All of these other insurers, Humana, Anthem, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, are considering the option of pulling out altogether because they're losing their shirts. You see, they were promised in this whole mess that they would make a ton of money. It was mandated, and they agreed to it. They made a deal with the devil. Or just remember the first rule about making a deal with the devil? Don't. But they did it. And there it is. And come November 1st, it'll be a big slap in the face. The problem here, boys and girls, is this. All across this country, starting next week, voting will start to open up. September 9th, voting in America will start to open. People are going to go to the polls and vote for president before they've ever seen a debate, ever seen what the latest from Julian Assange may be, which we hear there might be some smoking guns connected all the way back to Libya and everything that went on there. People are going to cast ballots before ever even getting into October. I'm okay with early balloting, but a full 2 months early? That seems to be a bit much for me. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, but 2 months early, 2 months in politics, as you well know, is a lifetime. Is a lifetime. Meanwhile, speaking of politics and medicine, the marijuana supporters are asking the Michigan Supreme Court to allow the legalization vote to go forward, even though they've been told their signatures were not gathered in a proper period of time. Those supporting legalization of marijuana here in Michigan are pushing hard to get those signatures validated so they can get the question of legalizing marijuana on the ballot November the 8th. We'll see where that goes. Let's go to Tom. He's checking in on the hotline. The hotline number, by the way, for you is 888-900-9966. Tom is in Grand Rapids listening to WJRW. Tom, welcome aboard.
Yeah. Good morning, Steve, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, my question about these commiecrats' plan that has taken over our healthcare system. It seems to me, and I've been hearing stuff about this, trying to follow this stuff, that this is what the commiecrats want. They want a single payer system, like
of course they do.
Social Security.
Well, yeah, there's more government control there, and it's an easier way for the Democrats to say you have to vote for us. It's an easier way to buy votes, Tom.
Yeah, but the thing is, these guys got no business sense at all. Look. They don't care whose money they spend as long as it's not theirs. We're $20 trillion in debt. How the hell are we ever going to recover from that? And the private industry has found that this whole healthcare plan, it's unsustainable. They can't make any money on it. So who's going to be in it? The government? The government's
well, that's right.
Going to take it over and continue to lose money.
Well, now you're getting it because United is out and Blue Cross Blue Shield is out and Anthem is out and Aetna is out. They're all out because they can't make the money they were promised. And because those risk corridors are not being subsidized any further by you and I and the rest of the American taxpayers, they can't afford to do it, Tom.
No kidding, Charlie Chan. Good luck, Steve.
Tom, thank you so much for checking in.
Yes,
Tom checking in Grand Rapids. The hotline number here, the Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966. Tell your friends you can be somebody on the Gruber Show, 888-900-9966. Tell your friends to gather around the radio. And for all your liberal friends who want a free education, I'm offering it Monday through Friday from 6 in the morning until 9, free of charge.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Quick story for you. Here a couple of years ago, Ivy had to go into the ER. My wife, if you don't know. But Ivy had to go into the ER having stomach pain and so forth, and it was pretty severe. We didn't know what it was. We went in, and after about 5 hours, they'd ran a bunch of tests and this and that. We went home. They inconclusive. I'm not sure why she was having such problems, but anyhow, we went home, and a few weeks later, a letter arrived, one of those that says, this is not a bill, but, you know, here's a summary of your charges, $10,000, $10,000 for 5 hours in the ER, and one of the things on there that caught my attention, and an MRI listed at $4,000, but because the insurance company was paying it was just $800, and our total bill out of $10,000 billed by the hospital, $144. My point being is either an MRI is $4,000 or it's $800. If you're telling me if I had gone in there and had been uninsured, I'd have paid $10,000 for that visit? I bring this to your attention because of price transparency. One of the things we're going to touch base with our next guest here, John Graham, a senior fellow for at the National Center of Policy Analysis. John, welcome to the program.
Good to be back on the show. Thank you.
Now, I want to talk about the ability to shop for insurance, but my wife having a $10,000 bill that we paid $144 for, because it's all it's all nonsense, John. I mean, either an MRI costs $4,000 or it costs $800. It's not, I mean, it's five times as much if I don't have insurance. Come on.
No, it's ridiculous. And the hospitals know that uninsured people, when they get those bills, if they don't get cycled through an insurer, they don't pay those bills. You know, obviously not. And they may pay some fraction of it. But what the hospitals do with these bills is they take these absurdly inflated bills, they take them to various levels of government, you know, especially the state and federal government, and say, look at all the uncompensated care we gave. And so it helps them build their case for getting more government money.
Oh, so they're the good guy. I get you. So we spent, we didn't get $1 million in service that we provided to the community, and therefore we should get a break, and therefore we made a lot less money than it looks like.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it also, the insurers, of course, are part of the problem. I mean, it's kind of these two parties, the hospitals and the insurers, are never going to solve the problem on their own, because the hospitals do what I just said. They go to the government and say, oh, look at all the uncompensated care we gave. And the insurers go around saying, oh, look at how great we are. We negotiate these great rates. You know, that's what we've done, is we've negotiated down. But as you pointed out, it's not a realistic price. And there's no other market where things are insured, where the world works like that. You know, if you crash your car and you write off your car and the insurer gets a new car, it's not like they say, oh, a new Honda Civic costs $500,000 or something, but we managed to get it for $35,000. I mean, it's the typical American health system. Everybody works to make it more difficult for the individual patient to figure out what's going on.
Well, and we were just in the last segment here talking about the fact that, you know, with Obamacare, the way things are going right now, you've got Humana, Anthem, Aetna, United Health Group, and Blue Cross Blue Shield all saying, you know, they may not be involved with Obamacare at all come next year, because they're all losing their tails, because the Congressional Budget Office says only about half of the number of enrollees showed up as they predicted. I mean, which means those that are still involved are paying exorbitant rates for the same care, and people are just getting killed. Now, the insurance companies are getting killed financially. They're like, we can't have any part of this. We got to get out, which all leads us down the road, John, as you well know, to a single-payer, government-controlled system.
That's right. That was, I guess, the plan, right?
That was the plan. Everybody knows that.
That was what they were thinking about back in 2009, 2010, when they were conjuring this up. And, about almost one-third of the counties in the country will only have one insurer in the Obamacare exchange next year. And there's one county, Pinal County, Arizona, that has zero. So what is that? What is a program with zero participants?
Yeah, and it won't be the only county. There'll be other counties that show up. But I bring this to your attention. I've lost my health care twice. I've lost my health care twice as a result, direct result of Obamacare. I've been, you know, bounced around like a ping pong, a ping pong ball, just trying to keep up with insurance. And every time I go to my doctor, is your insurance the same? I'm like, no, we have to go through all the forms again and do everything over and over and over. And by the way, if you didn't notice, everybody, that whole thing about you can keep your doctor, that has quietly been removed from the website. That's gone, the whole part about you can keep your doctor. That little line has disappeared from the government websites, if you didn't notice.
And the insurers only really kind of have themselves to blame. You know, they knew they would lose money, and they thought they'd be able to go back to Congress just for more and more taxpayer money. They thought the world that existed in 2010, before the November election in 2010, was going to persist, and they'd be able to come back and say, oh, we need more money. But then the congressional majority changed, and they weren't able to do that. So What people really got to look out for, I don't know what the insurer's game plan will be after the next election for how they're going to be looking for another bailout, but it's going to be expensive for the taxpayers. So whoever is in charge of Washington, D.C. next year, we're going to have to keep an eye on that, because insurers are definitely going to be coming back looking for more.
Well, sure they are. And if they won't have a Democratic majority in the House. I mean, that's almost impossible. But they might have an even split in the Senate, which would make it more possible. I don't know. I think it's ridiculous that we're getting into this position, because what's going to happen is the insurance companies made a deal with the devil, which the first rule of that is don't. Yeah. And they're going to destroy themselves as a result. Am I wrong?
That's right. And like I say, they will. I mean, well, let's not overdramatize. I mean, the large employer-based business is okay. I mean, if you look at Aetna as a business or United, or you know, they're okay as a business. As you pointed out, we've only got about 10 million people in the Obamacare exchanges. As a share of the population of the United States, it's not that big a deal. So they can kind of say in the boardroom of Aetna or United, well, okay, we lost that one, but we've still got a lot of other businesses that are working out okay. And the real victims are those people in the individual market whom Obamacare was supposed to help, quote unquote. And of course, as the reason there's only half as many people as they expected is the premiums are too high. So it's what they call the death spiral. And you know, you've talked about that on your show. And the people just say, look, why should I pay these premiums for something that is not a very good product? As I've lost my doctor, the hospital's not in network.
And it's not going to get better anytime soon, John. It's not going to get better anytime soon. That's the problem. But we'll continue the conversation sometime soon, because people have to know what's going on. John Graham, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
As we've mentioned, Donald Trump coming to Detroit on Saturday to speak to an all-black church. Reason being, predominantly black church, I guess I should say. The reason being is he was kind of challenged, I guess, because he has unleashed this narrative over the last couple of weeks of reaching directly out to the African-American and Hispanic community, saying, listen, what do you got to lose? Come join my movement, because you're getting the short end of the deal over there. Come join me, and you might find a different result than you've gotten from Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Democrats over the last five decades in places like Detroit and Philadelphia and Chicago, and the list goes on and on. And then he was challenged by many, say, well, he's just talking to a white audience. It's not like he really means it. Well, my next guest is African-American. She sat right behind Donald Trump during the Diamondale rally. I know, because I saw her on TV, and I said, hey, I know her. Linda Lee Tarver, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Steve. How are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, that big smile on your face that night, too, over there in Diamonddale. That big grin. Okay, first thing is this. They're trying to tell us, the American voters, that Donald Trump has exactly 1% of the African-American vote, which is absolute nonsense. Statistically speaking, that's not even possible. Plus, I was watching video of the rally in Akron here a few days ago, and I was watching it on YouTube. The number of women and minorities that were parading by the camera as they were heading in by the thousands to go to this Akron rally tells me something entirely different about the makeup of the crowd of Trump rallies. What can you tell me?
I think some in the liberal media want the perception to be that Donald Trump does not have the swell of support by women and by minorities, and that is just a false advertising, basically. He is growing his numbers, particularly he's up 8% over McCain and Mitt Romney as candidates. And so it is growing and growing. He's making his case. He's telling the truth. He is offering what no other presidential candidate has offered, to take on the issues of African Americans. And frankly, I'm excited and refreshed by that.
Let me ask you this. Do you have anybody in your circle that are Democrats that are saying, you know what, I can't vote Democrat anymore, I'm going to vote for Trump? Do you know any folks like that?
Absolutely. 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 My brother, I have a brother who would not vote for any Republican, but he voted for Donald Trump. And he likes Trump. He likes the fact that Mr. Trump, who's highly educated, Ivy League educated, can certainly use a great deal of, in his vernacular, a significant amount of negotiation skills. He makes it plain. He talks plain English to the American people to make his case. And he basically said, look, here's what's happening in the inner cities. He lives in New York. He's been around. He's well-traveled, and he is not ignorant of society here in the United States. He's well-tested as our leader, as our next president, to know and understand issues that are going on, and it's not blindsiding him. One of the things I appreciate about Donald Trump is he does understand the plight of what's going on. And matter of fact, when in New York, Jesse Jackson couldn't get a room for office space for his Rainbow Push Coalition, it was Donald Trump who opened that door for him and provided him when no one else did.
But people don't say that. You see, the funny thing is, and I listen to people say, I've known Donald Trump for years. I never heard him called a racist until he ran for president. And then when he ran for president, here's my thinking here. We're with Linda Lee Tarver, a Trump surrogate here in Michigan, African-American, and excited about him coming to Detroit. It seems to me that the narrative out there that he's a racist and Hillary Clinton calls him a racist, and then I hear Tim Kaine, the most disgusting thing I've heard, Donald Trump, you know, is supported by the KKK. Donald Trump's values are the KKK's values. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is how low in the gutter we're going to go. We're going to say Donald Trump is basically a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Good God.
It is
God.
A smoke and mirror for all of the tragedies and the lying and the scandals that Hillary Clinton is enduring daily. I mean, there's a daily hit piece of how she sold her soul to the devil and who sold her office off to the highest bidder. She gets money from foreign governments that are trying to kill us. And she has no problems with taking money from governments that treat women like secondhand citizens, like property. And so we've progressed as women, and we have progressed in terms of our ability to see through the minutia. And black folks are looking at Donald Trump.
Well, here's something.
They're looking at Donald Trump and what he has to offer, because they absolutely know when they're being bamboozled, as is the case. When Hillary Clinton came into Michigan, into Flint, with her hot sauce, like she was Beyonce, and going to a black church in Flint touting, oh, the poor water crisis, has not been back since.
Won't be back.
And lost Michigan to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, she won't be back.
People saw through her here in Michigan.
Yeah, by the way, a Pew Research poll from just last month, a couple of weeks ago, just for one comparison that you don't hear on the national news, found that 24% of registered voters that are Hispanic support Trump. 24%, which, by the way, is higher by 3 points than those that supported Romney and higher than John McCain as well.
Yeah.
That was last month. Donald Trump is polling higher among Hispanics than either Romney or McCain previously, and higher now, I believe, among African-Americans as well. But the news media, CNN goes out there, Donald Trump has 1% support in the African-American community. There was one poll that showed that, a discredited poll, I might add, that showed that, but they will not get off that talking point, and they are, well, they're just wrong. Are you going to the event in Detroit?
Yes, I plan on being there.
And so what do you expect?
I expect that he will make the case. This is not his first time. Donald J. Trump cannot be bought. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be bamboozled. And he is certainly operating with a sincere heart. He cares about this country. He cares about this nation. He knows how to build wealth. He knows how to affect jobs. He is the person who signs the front of the check for his organization. And he certainly has a variety of a diverse group of people working for him. And so he has been on the forefront of appreciating. Well, I loved when he said in Diamonddale that he appreciates all of the efforts, and that because of the efforts that African Americans built this country, helped build this country, they deserve better than their elected leaders in their communities.
Yeah, for Hillary Clinton, it seems to me it's not that black lives matter, it's that black votes matter. And every 4 years, they'll come by and coddle them and pat them on the head and say, oh, we're going to do this and this and this. And then they disappear, just like she disappeared from Flint, just like you pointed out, Linda Lee, not to return for another 4 years when she'll suddenly care again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But she's been consistently a liar in her career, in her approach, covering up for her husband, covering up for her own issues, deleting emails, putting servers in, lying on Colin Powell, lying to Congress. She has gotten away with her lies, but it will catch up with her. And the American people are not stupid. The African American community can obviously see through the sincerity of a politician. Donald Trump was invited to come. He is coming to Detroit at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Hillary Clinton was invited, and she has yet to respond.
Yeah, she's not available. Linda Lee Tarver, president of the Republican Women's Federation of Michigan and the Trump Circuit. Linda Lee, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
There you have it. 11 o'clock Saturday in Detroit. Don't miss it.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Well, a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days.
All right, welcome to it. It's 45 after. You know, if you weren't aware of this, here in the next few weeks, the United States will abdicate the throne and give up control of the internet to the world, I guess. And there's some concern now that the United Nations will take over the ICANN responsibilities of internet and website names and numbers and so forth. Something, by the way, that Barack Obama said would never happen. Apparently, it's going to happen. My good friend Michael Daugherty here, my expert from the IT department and everything else, is here. Daugherty, what's up?
Everything else. How are you?
No, I'm doing well, and you?
It's okay. I'm ready to roll into Labor Day.
Okay, good. Are you awake? I mean, I didn't mean to bother
you. I'm awake. I've been awake. I've been anxiously awaiting this another discussion of Barack Obama's intentional ignorance, willful blindness. Oh gosh, I didn't know that. Jeez.
Yeah, which it does get to the point of, like, you couldn't figure this out years ago, boys and girls. It's pretty obvious what he was up to, right? And it's pretty obvious that by putting the internet in the hands of the United Nations, doesn't that put us in the hands of people that can censor what you and I write and say? And you and I are so well censored, you know, we censor ourselves.
Well, it gives people a lot of information. It gives bad guys power. It's amazing how you spawn people like Obama in like this petri dish of academia and self-righteousness. And the bad part is they don't learn from mistakes. No matter what happens, they think they're right. It's incredible. And so he's still, this entire term he's shown, the last thing he does is learn from his mistakes. So now he's going to still ram his worldview down our throat, lie to our faces, and give the foundational infrastructure of the internet over to the United Nations. Amazing.
But, you know, you say it's a mistake. Maybe he doesn't consider it a mistake. Maybe this is exactly what he wants, because you look at Obamacare. We've been talking about that a lot this morning. The enrollment is half, less than half of what the CBO said it was going to be. Insurance companies are pulling out, you know, left and right, which is going to leave us with single payer, which is exactly what these people wanted, isn't it?
Well, it might collapse too early, too fast, and he thinks he'll be ruling the world forever, so we'll see. But, you know, I know exactly what you mean. I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you have to watch what he does and not listen to what he says. But it still confuses people. I mean, and there's still a bunch of people that just won't. Yeah, I mean, we see exactly what happens, and they still think it's unintentional. What, suddenly he has had an IQ drop when he does all this? You know, he does this, oh, this is towards the end of the summer and near Labor Day weekend, and oh, gosh, and everyone's busy talking about Trump and Hillary. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly when they throw this stuff in. And this is the type of damage he's going to do just before he's out the door. I mean, this is just the list of carnage he's going to do. This guy, it's amazing.
So what do you think he, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Is he going to give Guantanamo back to the Cubans as a wedding gift? Is he going to, what's he going to do that you think could be the worst?
Oh, the worst? Boy. You know, I think the cumulative worst. The worst he could do is, I guess, pardon a bunch of terrible people, including Hillary. You know, but that's about it. I mean, this guy's a cumulative he's disemboweling the American brand, really. It's going to take a while to recover from this. And the sad part is he's hurting everyone else around the world. This is the part, what I mean, he doesn't learn from his mistakes. I mean, his worldview just isn't possible. It's not how people operate. It's not who really is, what's really going on. And regardless of the evidence, he refuses to see it.
You mean, hold on, Doherty. You mean if we just, because I thought if we just hugged militant Islamists, it would all be okay. And we would, like, give them a puppy, and everybody would hug and kiss, and it'd be okay. I mean, isn't that...
And this is the stuff I'm glad that you're saying now after I was in Michigan visiting, because if I'd heard this out of your mouth, I would have just gone to Wisconsin.
There's the
love. No way. No. See, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. I mean, you know, lions are lions and goats are goats, and lions can't be goats and goats can't be lions. It's just the way it is. I know it's hard to believe, but we've got basically the, you know, 8th century ramming in the 21st here, and it creates tension.
Well, let me ask you this. We got a couple of minutes left here, so I do want to focus on the serious side of this. Okay, so the internet no longer under American control. What's the worst thing that can happen? I mean, and let's be sobering and honest about this. What can happen if the internet, I mean, would my website disappear, censored by, you know, some nebulous force from the United Nations or the Chinese or somewhere else?
Well, honestly, I mean, anything could happen. That's not where the focus would be. The focus is going to be what's going to happen in where evidently the left doesn't care, which is, you know, countries that are already under dictatorships and zealots and despots. I mean, those are the people that, you know, when you have the infrastructure in control by people that split the baby every which way and give people like, you know, China and Iran a say in things like freedom, then those people that don't want free discourse get a piece of the pie, and they affect it. I mean, that's the thing. The internet terrifies tyrants.
Because of course it does.
It's the ultimate free communication. And just remember what happened in Barack Obama's first term when everyone had those iPhone cameras in Tehran. Boy, we haven't seen that since, have we? Because he stood there and did nothing. And those are the type of behind-the-scenes death by a thousand cuts. It's not obvious stuff. It's freedom that's proactively taken away from people more than just your website going
nicked
down.
Here and nicked there and nicked here and surveillance cameras and regulations and restrictions and, of course, a whole host of things like you can't talk about global warming unless you agree with global warming, that sort of nonsense. Doherty, always a pleasure. I greatly appreciate you. And don't go to Wisconsin. Come see us in Michigan. I'm sensitive that way.
I'll be in Ann Arbor speaking October 20th.
October 20th, Michael Doherty in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the place where the greatest game ever created was perfected. That's college football. We'll be right back.